This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Thank you guys for really getting me back into sports.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I'm considering walking away. I'm considering heading up to the mall here in Erie, Pennsylvania, and buying myself a Josh Allen jersey. I'm hopping on the Bills Mafia bandwagon because I'm tired of the Cowboys.
Earlier on the show, Apple TV MLS analyst Taylor Twellman, Bears beat writer for The Athletic, Kevin Fishbane. Coming up, host of Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's a fact, and now confirmed, right here. Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show on the air on the Roku channel. We re-air every single day that we're done on channel 210, so if you missed the first 2 hours of this program, Taylor Twellman on to help us preview the MLS season that begins tonight. He's calling Inter Miami at Real Salt Lake. I'm wondering how many people look at that squad's name and go, what's the fake Salt Lake? You know?
Yeah,
but that's
right?
Why we have people like Taylor on to clear this stuff up.
Super necessary.
He was on in hour number one. Hour number two, Kevin Fishbane of The Athletic. He covers the Bears. We informed him of what Justin Fields said on the St. Brown Brothers podcast about unfollowing the Chicago Bears from Instagram. He also unfollowed the NFL account. And that means that NFL account's now down to, what, 55.4 million and change? For the moment.
I think so.
When it goes back up, you'll know Justin Fields is done with vacation, because that's why he said he tapped out. The algorithm is feeding him a whole bunch of stuff about his career and his possible future, and he didn't want to see it during his vacation.
29.8 million.
There you go.
Hold on. They follow 2191. Let's see if the NFL
follow, does the NFL follow Justin Fields?
Let's see. They do.
Oh, jeez. So,
there you go.
So I guess he'll still mess with them.
Yes.
So 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Let's talk to our friend Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk and the author of Father of Mine, which is now $3.99 if you care to get it, the ebook. Good to see you, Mike Florio. How are you, sir?
Rich, I am doing great, pal. It took me a while to get over jet lag after coming home from Las Vegas, but it was worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And now we just brace ourselves for the roller coaster ride that begins next week in Indy.
That's right. I had to overcome stomach lag, Mike, from Vegas. Oh, I mean, but that was, I mentioned yesterday, that should be in the NFL rotation for the Super Bowl, right? I mean, Vegas. Would you not agree with that, Mike?
Yeah.
Or no?
I don't know if there is a rotation. We talk about a rotation, and then there isn't a whole lot of rotating. It's a bunch of cities that we don't expect to be in a rotation. I think it should be in Las Vegas and Miami every 5 years. We're already 5 years removed from the last time it was in Miami, and it's not in Miami this year or next year or the year after that. And Las Vegas needs to be in that once every 5 year thing, too, that they just can't settle on, because there's a lot more than five cities that are in a position to host it. So I don't know that there ever will be a rotation, but if there is, Las Vegas definitely needs to be in it.
Well, I guess also the draft is now part of a rotation, right? Like, they can actually start combining the two decisions together, where again, Nashville was such a great draft city. I'm looking forward to going back there for that. They're building a stadium, so I'm assuming I'll be going there for a Super Bowl at some point. You know, maybe sometime this decade. I kind of dig it. I thought it was great. I really enjoyed it immensely, you know.
Yeah, I thought it was a great week. And again, I hope that it finds a way back there more often than not. I know it got a little crazy. Traffic was a little tough, but it is in every city that hosts the Super Bowl. So I agree with you. There should be a rotation, and Las Vegas should be one of the top two cities in it. For me, it would be Miami and Las Vegas every other year, just ping pong back and forth between the two, but they don't listen to me about that or anything else.
That's right. Mike Florio, but though, well, they hear. They certainly hear. They may not listen, but they hear. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk here on the Rich Eisen Show. So what is the timing, do you think, on the Bears' decision first overall? Walk me through what you think the timing is from new league year starting March 13th. The combine is next week. The draft, as we all know, is when this is definitely going to have to come out in the wash. What do you think the timing is, though, on when they're going to make their decision? If Justin Fields does have to get traded, does that have to happen by new league year? What's your two cents on that, Mike?
When I saw Albert Breer's report from Monday, that the Bears expect to have their plan in place next week at the scouting combine. My first thought was, does that mean they're trading the first overall pick? Because how can you have a final plan in place that you're going to trade Justin Fields and take Caleb Williams, if that's who they would take, until you've done all of your proper due diligence on which of the quarterbacks you would take with that first overall pick? It made me think that they're hoping to set up something like they did last year, where they trade that number one overall pick and get a lot in return, possibly a first round pick next year that becomes the number one overall pick again, like last year's did. And that may just be my bias, because I think they should keep Justin Fields. I think that they should see what his ceiling is, and they should take that huge lottery ticket that is the first overall pick and turn it into as many players as possible. Because, Rich, we know there's no guarantee that any draft pick is going to pan out. At one point last week, I looked back through the first overall picks who were quarterbacks. I'm not comfortable with that success rate. I'm not sufficiently comfortable to go all eggs in the basket. Now, maybe it works out, but I think you got a better chance to turn that pick into multiple picks and get more players and put a better team around Justin Fields.
So then who's the team do you think that would be the godfather offerer, Mike?
You know, great question. Depends on how far the Bears want to go. You know, there was talk last year that they were initially going to do a flip-flop with the Texans, because the Texans supposedly would have taken Bryce Young.
Yes.
And then the Bears would have moved down again from number two. They could move down not very far, still get a quarterback, and still trade Justin Fields. I mean, there's a lot of different ways this could go. And one of the reasons I think Justin Fields is getting frustrated, he wants to know what's going on. We all want to know what's going on. And that is a testament to how well the Bears are keeping the cards close to their vest. Nobody knows what they're going to do. That's the best strategy for the Bears, even if it makes us in the media and Bears fans frustrated and Justin Fields frustrated to the point where he taps out of following the Bears on social media.
Well, again, he said that was because he was going on vacation and the algorithm on his Insta keeps feeding him posts about his career and his future that he just doesn't want the negativity when he's trying to tap out.
Well, he must not have an X account if he's trying to avoid negativity.
That's funny. So the timing is of interest, because I'd imagine a team that wants to get Justin Fields or would be interested in getting Justin Fields would want to get that settled by the new league year, right? I mean, I imagine what that would be. And in terms of the new league year, there's two quarterbacks that we know for sure, it does appear, to be on the market. It'll be Kirk Cousins and Baker Mayfield. What's your reporting or what you're hearing about those guys and their possibility of finding either new teams or re-signing with their ones?
Well, Rick Stroud, who covers the Tampa Bay Buccaneers very well for the Tampa Bay Times, reported recently that if the Bucs tag anyone, it will be Antoine Winfield Jr., their all-pro safety, not Pro Bowl, but all-pro safety. That means Baker Mayfield heads to the open market unless they work out a contract with him. So he's potentially in play. Kirk Cousins is waiting for something substantial for the Vikings. So I think have accepted the fact they want to see what else someone will do and then maybe try to swoop in and match it or beat it if some other team is willing to do better than the Vikings are. But, you know, Rich, even though we're 3 weeks away from the start of free agency and 19 days away from what we lovingly call the legal tampering window, the real tampering is next week in Indy. The real tampering happens when all of the agents meet all of the teams face-to-face throughout the course of that 4 or 5 days, and that's when agents find out which of their clients are going to be pursued and how aggressively by other teams. And there are a lot of free agent quarterbacks this year with starting experience. It seems like every year now there are more and more veteran quarterbacks available on that offseason carousel. And I think that will make it harder for the Bears to get a substantial offer for Justin Fields, because if I can go out and try to sign one of these other guys and not give up whatever the Bears are looking for and not have to pay Justin Fields a second contract, and I could get somebody else at a much more reasonable rate and not give up any draft pick compensation, I may try that. But I think it all really starts to push toward ahead next week. And then by that start of the legal tampering period, that's when the offers are going out fast and furious as teams try to fill up their seats with the available quarterbacks.
Yeah. I mean, when you're looking at teams like New England, for instance, because Washington, we're assuming, and I think appropriately so, they're going to fulfill their quarterback needs with their draft choice, right? You take a look at New England. You take a look at Atlanta, just for two teams in the top 10 there, right? You're looking at the Raiders. You do look at Tampa to see what they feel about re-signing Baker Mayfield or anything like that. The reason why I'm bringing it up is an interesting question is going to be which teams are willing to fulfill their quarterback need through the draft and which ones would prefer to do it through free agency, you know? And that's going to be the tricky question about reading tea leaves and how everything's going to come out in the wash.
Mike. And it may just be that rich teams take their shot in free agency. And if they're left without a quarterback, that creates an even greater urgency to go draft one. There are pros and cons to both approaches. You get a proven commodity in free agency, but it's going to be more expensive than what that slotted rookie contract will cost. Even if it's the first overall pick, it's nothing compared to what it costs to go out and sign a really good player in free agency. So there's a lot of different ways teams can go. You know, on one hand, it's very good to have a lot of choices. The problem is at some point you got to choose one, and circumstances will get in the way. Other factors will complicate the situation, but ultimately a lot of these teams are going to have multiple doors they can walk through, and they're going to have to pick one of them, and they're going to have to feel good about it. And they're going to be pinning the hopes of this season and maybe next season and maybe the season beyond that on this choice that they make.
Editor-in-chief, creator of Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio here on the Wednesday before Combine Week on the Rich Eisen Show. On my previous show, I came up with the five top NFL spring storylines. I want to bounce a couple of off you right now. Number three on my top five list was Denver's quarterback plans. We had Sean Payton on our show the Friday of Super Bowl week, and he basically said anybody that ascribes a certain approach to us right now, we haven't even had our meetings yet. And he said they were going to happen the Monday after the Super Bowl. And he even said that Russ has to be in the conversation because he's still in the building. He wants to stay there, is what he said. And he said that counts for something. So yeah. I put that in front of you as to what tea leaves you can read there, because that's one big stone in the pond here about whether Denver is going to be in the market drafting or even free agency for a quarterback.
It's not going to be Russell Wilson. It's not, unless he has some sort of epiphany that causes him to do something contractually to make himself more palatable to the Broncos. And I think there's already enough bad blood there from what happened last year between the fact that the things went down and Russell Wilson pursued an NFLPA grievance, even though it didn't come to a grievance. There were some nasty letters exchanged. The fact that that even came out has to rankle somebody who was a Bill Parcells disciple in Sean Payton. It comes down to this. They owe him $39 million this year, no matter what. If he's on the roster March 17, they owe him another $37 million fully guaranteed next year. He will not be on the roster on March 17. His house, his 20,000 square foot, $25 million mansion is up for sale in Denver. He's moving on. And the real question to me is, will he take a one-year bare minimum deal from someone else, make it easier for that team to put a roster around him and stick the Broncos with the balance? That when all this stuff went down late in the season, that was the sense I got. We'll see how it plays out once he's cut, but I think he's going to be cut, and I think he's going to be available to anybody who wants him.
Who's going to want him?
Well, I saw he was the betting favorite to go to the Steelers, even though there was a report from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette over the weekend that the Steelers aren't interested in a veteran quarterback who wants to start, which you look at it and say, I mean, even though Russell Wilson isn't the guy that he used to be, Russell Wilson, Kenny Pickett, Mason Rudolph, all due respect, if you could get Russell Wilson for $1.2 million for 1 year, how do you not do that? The Raiders. If spite has crept into this equation at all, and you have to assume at some level it has, and the first team that I heard when all this was going down and all the rancor was out there and there were reports and people were talking to different folks on and off the record, the Raiders were the first team I heard, because you're going straight to a rival of the Broncos. So you can stick it to the Broncos as a member of the Raiders. The question is, do the Raiders want him? And at $1.2 million, how could you say no to that, Rich? Wherever he is now, relative to what he used to be, dollar for dollar, if he's willing to do $1.2 million and give the Broncos the balance of that on their books for this year, how do you not say yes to that?
And Sean Payton during the season, was honest when he was saying, hey, look, I got to, you know, we got to get this right, because if I'm making the wrong decision here on this, then – someone else is going to be talking to at some point down the road. So who do you think is going to be his choice, draftee or free agents? What do you got?
The fact that they are going to move on from Russell Wilson, Rich, is going to create significant salary cap issues this year and even more so next year. They got more than $80 million in dead money they're going to have to deal with. And if they designate him as a post-June 1 release, it becomes a little bit easier. But still, they're not in a position to go out and pay market value to Russell Wilson, not Russell Wilson, excuse me, to Kirk Cousins or maybe a Baker Mayfield. So I think they're going to look to the draft. And, you know, the question becomes, can Sean Payton find somebody who he believes can run his offense the way that he wants it to be run, with a lot of the stuff, a lot of the important stuff happening before the snap? That's the thing you need to watch when you go back and watch Broncos games. What was really going on before the snap? What kind of sense of urgency was there? What kind of changes were being made? We see different quarterbacks doing all sorts of things and calling out all sorts of words and pointing here and pointing there. Watch Russell Wilson. There ain't a whole lot of that. I think to make any offense work well, you got to have that component. And I think that may be the thing that ultimately caused Sean Payton to give up on Russell Wilson.
And then explain June 1st cut to people, Mike, because that might mean if they do designate him post June 1, does that mean Russ is still sitting there top of the summer, still with no gig? And then most teams have already filled up, right, Mike?
Good question. It used to be that June 1 was a very active day on the NFL news cycle because you had to literally wait until after June 1 to cut a guy and spread the ensuing salary cap charge over 2 years.
Right.
Now you can, and I think it's up to two per team each year, you can designate a player that you release after the league year begins as a post-June 1 cut, and that takes whatever's left of the dead money. You get this year's charge that you would have had anyway, and then whatever's left over goes next year. It's not a 50-50 split necessarily. It depends how many years are left, but it makes it a lot easier to put a guy out there. This is very pro player. It lets a team put a player out there so he can get a contract somewhere else instead of having to squat on him until June 1.
Right, and then the player has a better opportunity to find his next job. Last one for you, Mike. The other storyline I had, number two overall, because number one was the quarterback carousel draft and free agency, which we've hit quite a bit in our chat so far. Number two is, what did Jerry Jones mean by all in? And that is a great question. And the key of it really is what about Dak's contract and what happens there is the start of it. Because for him to go all in and maybe bring in other players that he said they normally wouldn't be all in on, they got to have the flexibility with Dak's deal, right? So I place that all in front of you, Mike.
You've got to extend Dak Prescott's contract to have the kind of flexibility you need to add other players. His cap number this year is $59.4 million. That is only going to drop with a long-term deal that pays him more than the $40 million per year he's making now. The question is, how close to the top of the market is he going to be? But he's got, Rich, a ton of leverage. This is all the Cowboys' fault. They didn't pay him after his third year in the NFL. They rode out the fourth year of his rookie fourth-round contract. Then year five, they paid him under the franchise tag. Year six is when they realized they were over a barrel, and they put a contract in place that has them over a barrel now as he enters the final year of his four-year deal that he did after that first franchise tag and technically when the second one had been used. He has them. And if Jerry Jones had someone in this kind of posture in any type of business relationship, he would take full advantage of it. So I shed no tears for Jerry Jones. They created this mess, and now Dak Prescott has a chance to exercise full leverage. That's the first step. And until you do a new deal with him, you really can't go all in. They have to hope that Dak Prescott decides to give them a break some way, somehow, do a reasonable deal, and leave enough cap space to take care of CeeDee Lamb. Michael Parsons is going to want to get paid. And that's even before you start thinking about who else might be out there. So all in can have a lot of different meanings. And all in the classic sense, if the Cowboys want to do it, they got one hand tied behind their back as they're pushing those chips out to the center of the table.
Yeah, I mean, and the timing on that is, this has got to get done before March 11th, right, when the window opens up. This has got to be done in the next 20 days. This has got to be already a topic of conversation here.
Yeah, right? I mean, when the new league year begins, that's when Dak's cap number hits 59.4. That's the moment it hits. So you've got to have the new contract ready to kick in and drop that cap number.
Right.
Otherwise, you're going to have to cut some guys, or you might not be able to sign some guys. I mean, it's a huge mess. Even though the cap, I was told the other day, initially 243 million, and somebody that is always, I mean, bats 1,000 on these issues, said it's going to be closer to 250 than 243. We'll see. But the higher that cap number goes for all teams, the easier it is for teams to maneuver. So a lot of teams hoping for a higher number than expected this year, it makes it easier for them to get their players under the cap.
Yeah, when do we hear about that? When does that hit?
Well, it's got to be
soon.
Next week. It's got to be, because when you apply the franchise tag, and we're in the window now, the franchise tag number is, under the current CBA, in most cases, a specific percentage of the cap.
Right.
So you have to know what the cap is to know what you're committing to if you're one of these teams. So no later than 13 days from now, the last day of the franchise tag period, but it's got to come. And I think the final agreement, it's negotiated every year between the league and the union. The final agreement will be made next week in Indianapolis, if not before then.
So this is it. I mean, rubber's meeting the road. I mean, I know we're 10 days removed from the Super Bowl, but this is coming up fast. This is happening right
now.
Well,
this is what happens when you add a 17th game to the regular season. There's no longer a lull.
Right.
This is the lull, and there's really no lull to the lull, because, you know, it's lulless. Just a minor tapping of the brakes, if anything.
All right. Tell me about the ebook $3.99, right?
And, you know, I've been reading a lot of ebooks lately, and I realize that I am pretty freaking stupid when it comes to setting a price point, because most of them are at least $10.99, $11.99, $12.99. But look, I just want people to read and enjoy the things I've written. It's not about the money. And I know anytime anybody says it's not about the money,
it is.
It's about the money. But I really don't care. I really don't care about the money. I get a lot of fulfillment from writing, and I love hearing from people who have read the stuff that I've created out of nothing and enjoyed it. It fuels me to keep doing it. So $3.99 is aimed at getting maximum people to give it a try and see if they like it. And the sequel is in the works. So hopefully I'll have that maybe by football season. It all depends on how crazy this offseason really is.
Well, you know, every now and then I'll text you about not what you're reporting on, your writing on it. You could see that you do enjoy the actual craft of putting a sentence together and sticking the landing in a sentence, Mike. And a piece, you could see it for sure.
And Rich, I appreciate that very much. One of the byproducts of doing this for 23 years now, I have literally written millions of words, probably more than 9-10 million, just every day, story after story after story. And it gave me a capacity I learned 4 years ago to sit down and just crank out a lot of intended fiction, not the unintended fiction that I'm often accused of.
Be well, sir. Hope to see you soon. See
all
you in Indy, man.
Thanks, pal.
Take care, man. That's Mike Florio, everybody. Check out at Pro Football Talk. He's not lying about the Cowboys, sir. It is all predicated on what Dak and Jerry and Dak's representatives are talking about with Jerry. Yep. I bet you right now they got to get that duck in a row first.
Absolutely. It's the key to everything.
Did you see Jimmy Johnson told a radio station in South Florida that Jerry called him up and asked for 2 cents an hour after the loss of Green Bay? Because as he told the radio station, that he's got decisions to be made on McCarthy, Quinn, and Dak.
Mm-hmm. This takes a nice chunk out of the pie.
That's what he said. And he said everything's hunky-dory between him and the Cowboys right now.
He's on the advisory board.
He didn't say what he told Jerry, but clearly whatever he told Jerry, Jerry's like, I'll stick with McCarthy. Clearly couldn't keep Quinn. And then we'll find out what he said about Dak. Because Dak does have the leverage, as you just heard what Mike said. Yep. We're taking a break. I've got my power rankings of most important quarterbacks in the offseason carousel. Oh, baby, that's next. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
America starts the day with America in the Morning. Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
In New York, I'm Sue Aller.
I'm Charles Tillotesma.
Sagar Meghani, Washington.
I'm Jennifer King.
I'm Clayton Neville.
I'm Kevin Carr.
I'm Archie Zaraletta.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
On the Bigger Pockets Real Estate Podcast, co-hosts David Green and Rob Abasolo interview real estate investors and entrepreneurs about successes, failures, and hard-earned lessons. Joined by author Dave Meyer.
Who wrote a book?
I did write a book.
It seems like you're coming out with a book every 4 minutes.
You are one to talk. You've released 2 books this year. I've done half as many as you.
It is more about strategy than it is about just finding whatever the new buzzword happens to be.
Bigger Pockets Real Estate Podcast on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Do I call you a free agent quarterback sitting here? What do I call you?
Dak? I don't know. I mean, this is my first time going through this. You tell me. Call me whatever, I guess.
I will call you Dak Prescott.
That works.
I'm going to ask you the question this way about what contract you think you're going to get. Okay, in terms of pie. Because I've heard there's less pie. I've heard there's more pie.
Less pie.
That's right. There's Jerry Jones right there, the voice of Jerry Jones. We've heard there's less pie. We've heard there's more pie. I'm wondering if you think this is deep dish pie. How deep is it a deep dish pie?
If I'm guessing, I'd say yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it franchise pie?
I would say.
You'd say?
Well, no, I mean, I don't know what kind of pie we're talking
franchise
about.
Franchise tag pie. Is it franchise tag pie?
Oh, I don't know. I mean,
long-term pie? Is it long-term pie?
I don't know. I just want a piece of the pie. Just put it like that.
Okay.
I'm getting hungry, right? Chunk out of the pie. I mean,
that's it? Yeah, okay. And Is it a pie that starts with a 4? Is it a pie that starts with a 4?
Like I just said, I'm leaving up to my agents to cut my piece of the pie. Okay. I'm just ready for it and ready to eat. So
okay.
When that happens, I'm ready to get to work and excited for this offseason.
And we've also heard through DeMarcus Ware told us that when you sit in Jerry's office, have you gotten the Jerry's office meeting yet?
I've been in Jerry's office.
Okay, and that he lights a candle, turns the lights down and gives you a whole Dallas Cowboys speech. Have you had that? You have not had that yet.
No, okay. I haven't had that one yet.
He says that happens when he's trying to close a deal. So I think you'll know that you're really close if you
when
walk
the
in.
Lights turn off.
Lights go okay. Down.
Thank you for that that warning and that heads up. So now I know like what's going on when that happens.
There's apparently a votive candle with a Dallas Cowboys star right on the side of it. I don't know if it's scented. It might be the smell of pie of some sort.
Right.
I'm just saying. That hasn't happened yet, is what you're saying.
It hasn't happened.
Okay, when you get that call, you know, wow, I'm close.
Okay.
I ain't got that votive candle, I'm sure. After that, on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, we're back. And I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Patrick in New Jersey has been hanging on for a while. What's up, Patrick?
Hi, Rich. Good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you, Patrick. Where are you from? Where in New Jersey are you from, Patrick? Where?
Oh, we had this conversation last time I called. I'm kind of like 30 minutes off from like MetLife Stadium.
Okay.
So I'm like near the Paramus area.
Sure.
Did you ask Del Tufo to figure out which highway I was last time I called?
Yeah, okay. And he probably couldn't tell. But I guess, you know, right near where Tony Soprano once took the ticket on the turnpike. So what's on your mind, Patrick?
Okay, so I needed to talk to you because you're a Michigan fan. I'm a Broncos fan, and this is like a weird situation that we're in because I don't think we have the ability to trade up just because we've already spent the farm on the last guy, and I also don't buy Sean Payton at all when he said that they haven't looked at the tape yet. I think he already knows who he wants, and he's going to go and get him. But I just don't think we can. And so there's been a lot of talk on Broncos Twitter about JJ because he would probably be there at 12. And there seems to be like a split in the fandom of whether or not he's good, like if he's worthy of being that high of a pick or whether or not he was carried by the run in Michigan and he was just Harbaugh's dude and like he's not going to make it in the NFL compared to the top guys. So as a Michigan fan, you watched him play every week.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to ask you sort of like, what's your take on whether or not if the Broncos went and made that move to get J.J. McCarthy, because I think Sean really wants a guy to go up against Herbert and Mahomes twice a year this point.
Oh, yeah. By the way, are you asking me should they draft J.J. McCarthy if he's available at 12?
I think it's more like if you when you go on the show after the draft and you respond to all the quarterbacks that were taken and you have to react to the Broncos taking JJ at 12, like hypothetically, like what would your spiel be?
It's straight up. You'd be lucky if the Denver Broncos can take JJ McCarthy and put him in an Orange Crush jersey, end the game, rip the knob off, end of story. Please. I understand he handed it off 28 straight times against Penn State. Kid was hurt, and the right tackle was getting his ass beat. And so the coach saw it and says, we're tougher than them. That's the end of that. And then I think McCarthy, thanks for the call, Patrick. If I had to guess, J.J. McCarthy played hurt against Maryland. If I had a wager. And he's tough as nails, man. Good kid, married. He's not going to be, you're not going to get a phone call in the middle of the night. Guess
he's
what happened
married to our quarterback? At age 20?
21.
I would advise.
Or he's engaged to be married. So he's off the market. Oof. He won't be unfollowing the Broncos and then using the analogy Justin Fields used. In other words, that's what I'm saying. So,
oh yeah, he just turned 21.
Yeah.
Come on now. He's accurate. The number of times I would watch him play and the ball would fly out of his hands and it would be a dart. And I would just go, oh my goodness. It would just like come out of my mouth. And I have been following Michigan football since 1986, since Jim Harbaugh was in his senior year. I've never seen anybody play the position like number 9. Period. Nobody.
I forget who said it, but it's been said that if he played for a school that threw it a lot more,
sure,
we'd think he was Joe Burrow.
Maybe so. Maybe so. Except, you know, he played for Michigan because Ohio State told him to beat it. And now people might be comparing him to Joe Burrow, who Ohio State told to beat it. But listen, that's neither here nor there.
The rookie of the year was an Ohio State quarterback.
No, I understand that.
Okay.
What does he have in common with the previous rookie of the year? Maybe the next rookie of the year.
Oh.
They all lost their last game to Michigan. But listen, I'm just saying this.
Fair.
12th overall, Daniel Jeremiah doesn't think he'll be there, but right. 12th overall, I'd take him.
It feels like this kid's going to be one of the combine stars.
He's really good.
I'm sure he's going to throw. I'm sure he's going to light it up.
And he's just going to light up a meeting room, too.
Yeah.
Now, I know Jim said when he was on this program that he should be first overall, which is easy for Jim to say because he's got his guy.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Right.
He could do that. But putting him in Denver, how about him versus Harbaugh twice a year?
Oh, yeah.
That's fun.
How about that one?
Do it.
For Sean Payton. And again, Sean needs some, like, look at what, obviously Drew Brees is the prototype.
But it's quick. It's 1, 2, 3. It's timing.
And it's accurate.
Yeah.
This kid was dead on accurate.
Yeah. That's why I never understood Sean picking Denver, because Russell Wilson is not that guy. He doesn't run that type of offense.
I don't know.
He's an off-schedule dude.
I have no idea. That relationship will be out in some 30 for 30 one day,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah.
Well, right now, we're not. How about Florio was just basically straight up. He's not going to be the quarterback. You know. Are you ready for it?
We always are.
I didn't mean to go Taylor Swift on you right there.
We always are.
I have my power rankings. It's a Wednesday. It's a power rankings. Most important quarterbacks in the offseason carousel. Hit it.
This is my
power rankings.
There are many like it, but this one is mine.
Power rankings.
Yes, indeed. It is time for my weekly power rankings. Number 10 on my list of the most important quarterbacks in the offseason carousel. I'm throwing Michael Penix Jr. here.
No.
Certainly
if
somebody's going to turn down a shot at a quarterback in the first round of the draft and he's sitting there top of Friday night, or he's sitting there end of Thursday night, who's coming to go get this kid? He's 24 and has been through a lot and has a neck-up ability. that is uncanny coming out of college. He took on an NFL-type defense in the national championship game and was doing a lot of pre-snap dissecting that was highly impressive. So it beats in the chest, and it certainly resides between the temples. And I'm wondering who's going to go ahead and take a shot at this kid, end of first round, or if, let's just say, Daniel Jeremiah's mock draft of having the Patriots sitting at Marvin Harrison at the third overall spot. Do they go ahead and trade back into the end of the first round to get a fifth-year control on Penix and just basically say the whole Belichick era of just holding on to our draft picks and trading down and trading down and trading down and getting more third, fourth, and fifths are over, and we're just going to go ahead and we're going to remake this offense with Marvin Harrison Jr. third and Michael Penix Jr. as our second draft choice. When I say third, I mean third overall. That's number 10. Number 9 on the list is Drake May. I'm putting him here, and I'm putting him here because this is going to be a decision for whoever second overall, and we're assuming it's going to be Washington. Do you take this kid out of North Carolina, and do you take him over Jaden Daniels? And that makes him important, because that is a huge decision. And let's see what he looks like. That's number 9. Number 8 on this list, I'm finally hitting a veteran here. I think he's going to stay put. I think the Bucs saw what they can get out of my boy. And I think my boy has shown them what they can get out of him. And I think my boy stays. Unless Mike Evans goes and he's sitting there going, what the hell?
Yeah, why would
and
I stick
Raider,
around?
And the Raiders, I mean,
ooh, Raiders the, Raider, for
the, Raider, the Raiders say, ooh, you know what? Let's trade pirate ship for pirate ship. Ooh. Baker Mayfield is a Raider.
That's fun.
Don't you think?
That's pretty fun.
Baker Mayfield in the AFC West. The AFC West, I know, is a little but I mean,
why Baker, would you want that, though?
Baker versus Patrick Mahomes, like it's the Big 12 all over again. Final score 60-50. I kind of dig it. And where he goes, I think, is a very important part of this carousel. Certainly, if you're thinking about drafting somebody, like, no, let's go get Baker Mayfield now, and let's put our eggs in his basket, because he's trying to create this basket and say, put it in there. Put the eggs in. Number 7 on the list, just spoke about him. I don't care if you think I'm biased. I saw him. He is truly special. And if he winds up being a top 10 pick, then he's pretty damn important. He's a national champion. He's a winner. He lost one game as a starting quarterback as a Michigan Wolverine. He's J.J. McCarthy. He's 21. You're getting him as a baby. And he has started the clock on his pro career right now. And he's going to make somebody very happy. And I put him, again, if he's a top 10 pick, that makes him crucially important. And if he's like a top 20 pick, boy, somebody sitting down there at 20. You imagine if the Steelers somehow wind up with him?
No way he lost that one.
I don't think so either, but yeah. I'm just saying this is a crucially important piece of the quarterback carousel of the offseason. Number 6 is Russ. What happens with him, man? What happens with him? And we're going to find out because by March 17th, because that's the date by which he makes a ton of money if he's on the Broncos roster. And we just heard Mike Florio say full Magic Johnson. He ain't going to be there. Okay, so where does he go? Who wants him? Does he take a discounted deal for his new team because he's making all this other money from Denver? And then he's suddenly, you know, very attractive to a team because he is costing you nothing to basically bring in there. And then he's just got to find a spot and say, I'm going to have a renaissance and make the Hall of Fame. That's the way he's going to have to viewing his situation. And boy, that's dangerous. Yeah. If we can bottle and uncork some vintage stuff from Seattle, that makes him important. And certainly because if Denver does what I think they're going to do, and then suddenly in the market for drafting a free agency, that makes them this guy a linchpin. Speaking of linchpin, we're in the top 5 now. I'm putting him here, and I'm not saying because he's going to be made available, because what he does is crucial to the Dallas Cowboys' opportunity in free agency and what they can do in paying their own players. Dak Prescott is an important quarterback on this offseason carousel, because the carousel would spin in other spots. Running back carousel, receiver carousel. If he does contractually what the Cowboys kind of need him to do, which is lower that cap number, and then they extend him, means he's there. He's off the carousel for sure himself. That's number five. Number four on the list is Jaden Daniels. He is your Heisman Trophy winner, and he's sitting out there, and what does he bring to the table is exactly the conversation to be had. Second overall, because again, I think it's Caleb Williams' world we're paying rent in, although my NFL Network colleague David Carr said he would put Daniel's name on the first draft slip and rip the knob off and run it up there.
Whoa.
Yeah, man. There's lots of takes going on right now. Jaden Daniels is number four on this list. Number three on the list is Justin Fields. Okay. Who is he going to wind up following on Instagram? And we assume he's just going to rip the knob off there and he could start going on vacation and not worrying about what's on his algorithm.
He should just start following George Pickens and Jalen Warren.
Is he going to be is he just not going to be on the carousel or what? Is he? Maybe he's not on the carousel. Maybe somebody blows the Bears away and they're like, okay, our decision's made right here because we now have a bevy of picks to surround Justin Fields and we're going to work. Or is he on the carousel? Number two is the top veteran free agent, Kirk Cousins. I think he stays put. I think there's not going to be anybody with him coming off of his Achilles that's going to blow the doors off him where he's going to say, I'll move to Vegas. All right, I'll go to Tampa, because Tampa's going to, what, suddenly blow out the quarterback spot, but not for Baker. It'll be for him. I don't know if the Patriots, if that's the type of move they're going to make right now. That just doesn't strike me as the move. I think nobody's going to blow the doors off of Cousins. I think he likes staying there, and I think Minnesota's going to keep him. But if he's on that carousel, unbelievable. He's going to wind up making more career money than Garrett Cole, right? The only person outstripping him is Ohtani.
Right.
You know?
He's going to get 45 a year.
Number one, you know what the number one is. It's Caleb. Because what the Bears do with the first overall pick is the first, one would think, ripple in this monster carousel pond. Caleb Williams. How about them apples? The USC kid, Heisman Trophy winner once removed, is, in my mind, the most important quarterback on the offseason carousel in the NFL, and that's my power rankings. I left off Bo Nix. I left off, you know, some of the other veterans who could be a backup, like Tannehill or Flacco.
Jimmy G.
I just didn't think that they were more important. Important being the key word.
Yeah.
Take a break. Finish up this Wednesday show. Set up shop for the rest of the week when we come back on the Rich Eisen Show.
Hi there. Sorry for the interruption, but are you enjoying this show on Google Podcasts? You should know that the Google Podcasts app is going away this spring. That's right, going away, gone, as in no longer available. You can still enjoy this show elsewhere, though. Try out Spotify or Amazon Music, or maybe TuneIn is more your style. Whatever app you switch to, be sure to follow so you never miss the next episode. And thanks for listening, wherever you listen.
All right, I'm going to invite Amon-Ra back on.
Amon-Ra.
I want to commend him on his questions. I mean, he nailed it.
He did a good job.
Right?
Yep.
Did you unfollow him? Do you want to stay in Chicago? What do you think of Atlanta? Those would be the three questions I'd want to know. Because I certainly don't want to follow up on the other stuff.
Maybe he's in with that and then...
You know?
How's your vacation?
No.
Did you meet any nice people? Yeah.
How was Amsterdam? You know?
You go to the beaches.
What does it mean to still be messing with after unfollowing? I don't gather.
I think you get it.
Be good of him to explain that to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As a father of three.
Sure.
Married 21 years. Mm-hmm. When you unfollow someone, how do you still mess with them?
Well, I mean, if you're going to put it in marriage terms, how many people have been married, got divorced, and remarried? Like a lot.
Yeah. So that's unfollowing and still messing.
Well, that's still messing. I mean, it seems like
well,
you're
I'm
right.
messing with the same yeah, person, though. How many that. People got back together with their ex?
That's what I'm saying. I would imagine a lot of people. have remarried an ex.
Mike?
Not a chance. Nah.
Well, tell that to Liz Taylor and Richard Burton. How many times? Eight times. Somebody's... I mean, how many? She was married eight times, three to him.
Was Richard Burton famous enough to be dating Elizabeth Taylor or married?
100%.
100%.
He was?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Never heard of the guy.
It's unbelievable that Joe DiMaggio would hook up with Marilyn Monroe just to get his profile up.
Yeah, I mean,
she was more famous than him.
Does this sound like a familiar conversation to this season?
Just saying.
Yeah.
Just pointing stuff out. Back on the Rich Eisen show. Game time tickets, people. Get to your mobile device and download this app. The Game Time app is so easy to use. It is so simple to navigate. Within two taps, you buy tickets. And not only do you buy tickets, you could see the view from your seat, and you could see how much the whole thing costs all in. And Game Time's got tickets deals right up to the start of the event, even an hour after it starts. So it's the place to find last-minute seats. And the Game Time guarantee means you're going to always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. 110%. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use the code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create your account, redeem our code RICH, $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. All right, guys. Fun show.
Funny show.
Have we hit everything?
Rich, they always are.
Have we hit everything?
Did we hit everything?
I think we kind of hit everything.
Yeah.
Honestly, when the ESPN news stack has the same headlines as the day before, you know there's not much happening. But we're on it.
Kind of the big story going around right now is Charlie Woods is going to attempt to qualify for the old Honda Open.
Really?
Yeah.
How old is he now?
He's 15.
Oh, man. So at age 15, he's going to try for the Honda Open.
So he's going to play in a pre-qualifier. And if he advances to that, he can play in the Monday qualifier with, 100 guys, and they take four.
Oh, he'd make that.
That's...
Like he's 15.
He's 15.
Okay. I'm betting on that. I'm betting on it. 100%.
Well, the one thing that I'm appreciative of, at least, is it's good news. It looks like he didn't catch influenza from his dad.
I didn't see Charlie out there on Friday, so I don't know if he was out walking around. Yeah. It's now called the Cognizant Classic. It used to be the old Honda Open.
Oh, okay. So now we're moving to Florida, though.
Yeah.
We're saying the tour is moving to Florida.
Going to Florida.
Okay.
So that's kind of big right now. It's kind of hitting the last hour.
15-year-old Charlie Woods.
Yeah.
That would be wonderful if he makes it, wouldn't it?
It'd be unbelievable. Tiger played at his first event at Riviera when he was 16.
Okay.
So he'd be on the similar trajectory.
He'd be dad to the punch by a year if that happens.
Yeah.
Bring it on.
Jeez.
Come on, Charlie.
I just want Xander to make his bed.
Eat healthy.
By the way, Xander's been outstanding.
Do his homework.
He is 1,000,000%.
Just make your bed.
He has been 100% on making his bed before going to school.
Right.
Which is for teenagers, honestly. Old, so.
Monster big.
Yeah. Make your bed, brush your teeth.
Oh, yeah, all that stuff.
Let's check the basics.
Well, we don't have to ask him anymore. And Tiger's 15-year-old is trying to make the Honda Club.
My mother.
That's not fair, though. That's not fair.
It is. That's I love it. More power to Charlie, baby. I love it.
I mean, to compare other 15-year-olds.
Hey, my 15, I'm not comparing.
Oh, okay.
I'm not comparing. My 15-year-old, I'm sure Charlie can't do things that Xander can. 1,000,000%. Come on now. Seriously.
Oof.
Does Charlie have a Snapchat account?
I bet Charlie is messing with girls he doesn't follow.
Get out of here.
Oh, sorry.
What is the matter with you?
I thought the mic was off.
Now that I understand the reference, I am offended, sir.
The mic was off. All right, the other big thing, the other news we could probably hit on tomorrow because we're running out of time. Antonio Pierce is going to have Mahomes rules for the Raiders next year.
Which is what?
Similar to the Jordan rules.
So bust them up?
Yeah.
Basically?
Pretty much.
Touch them every time you get... Well, you don't have to tell Max Crosby that every time he gets there.
Yeah. Touching them up a little bit.
So...
I love it. Antonio Pierce is bringing that swagger. I will just say this. I would counsel not to continue to dine out on a Christmas Day victory in Arrowhead.
No.
That's all I'm saying. I love speaking things into existence. The mere fact that he's the coach is proof of that.
He said it on Max Crosby's podcast.
I like it.
The Rush.
How did Max book him? Is that part of the 10%?
Might be.
You know?
The vig that Max gets for...
Look, I was all down for AP. I was pounding the table for him to be the coach. But then he kind of didn't agree with our checking the suitcase situation. So now I'm a little...
So we're out?
I'm not out. I'm not saying listen, I'm out. I'm disappointed.
I go back with Antonio Pierce at a Giants cam on NFL Total Access.
Oh, yeah. You've been in this game for years, man.
A minute.
You know?
But a minute. But I would just counsel to say the Chiefs are ready to... avenge that defeat and remind the Raiders organization where they just went back to back in their house.
Congratulations.
Yep. That's it.
I knew I'd get DJ on that.
Because I'll look around. I mean, you can't raise a banner that we have Mahomes rules. You know what I mean?
True.
That's just my only counsel. But just keep doing your thing. It certainly worked out the end of last year, that's for sure. We'll chat again on Thursday.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
And here's Lil Yachty with Tierra Whack.
I've never been to a fashion show. I never did any Paris Fashion Week, New York Fashion Week, and I'll tell you why. Because I would always go to events and people would say to me, "Oh man, Yachty, man, I love your music, bro." And she'd be like, "What song?" At the time, I didn't love my music. I would feel like I'm in a room with all these artists and they all respect each other. And I feel like no one respects me.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.